Good evening, everyone. How are you doing tonight? Good. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody has had a good week so far. And been warming up out there. Supposed to be getting a little more warmer. And but anyway, we'll bear it and grin, won't we? Good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And as others are coming in, we will jump right into things this evening and go over a few prayer requests and mention some announcements, and then we'll have a time of prayer together. All right. Well, we are flying through the month of June, and before you know it, it'll be July, and then before we know it, school will be back in session. But let's remember the Martins tonight as they're up in New York. And having their time at the ball field, Cooperstown. And so let's remember them. And let's remember this coming up Saturday. We are having a singing. You excited about that?
Yes.
All right. Well, help us pray that we'll get a large crowd. And then we can extend an invitation for those to come to church and be with us. And hopefully boost up some attendance for us, but looking forward to that. Remember, Saturday at 4 o'clock, Ivan Parker will be here, and so we are looking forward to that on Saturday, and of course, on Sunday, regular services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, we'll be downstairs with snacks and then a devotion, and Brother Kevin Brook we'll be bringing the lesson, the message on Sunday night, so looking forward to that as well. And then the following Sunday, on the 30th, will be Youth Sunday morning and night. Brother Brian in the morning, Brother CJ in the evening, and the youth will be carrying the services. So remember that, looking forward to that as well. Excuse me. All right, let's remember tonight our children's home, the staff and the children. Let's continue to remember the Townsends. I believe they have some upcoming doctor appointments. Don and Carla Rich and Miss Carla's brother, Don, that's in the hospitals. He's still there. He's still in the hospital at Tanner Medical in Villa Rica, so let's remember him. Let's continue to remember the Palmers, Leonard, Miss Dolores, and Trell Norton, his friend Bill Zimmerman, who has cancer. Connie Norton, Trell's wife, her heart issues. Diane Ely. And I believe we mentioned last week, but her back surgery has been postponed. And they're taking some other avenues for that. They're not sure if her bones would hold the screws in. She's supposed to be having back surgery. And so they're trying some other avenues first. So let's remember the Ely's in our prayers, Miss Claudia and her health, Brother Harold Dolph, the Daly's, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards. Brother Don, I believe you mentioned last Wednesday, Arnold is, what's going on, Brother Arnold? I can't remember what you said. What was it that you said about Arnold McCrickard?
Oh, well, he's on
feeding tube. Okay. Okay. So let's remember the McCrickards, Brother Arnold, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook. Again, that'll be preaching next. It's coming up Sunday night. All right. We'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request or an update or a praise or something they'd like to mention tonight. Anybody? All right. Hey, we're prayed up and ready to go, aren't we? All right. Well, like we always do on Wednesday nights, we'll have a time of prayer together around the altar if you're able to and would like to. We'll gather around the altar at this time. You can pray where you're at. Brother Jeff has a song, and we have a certain lesson we want to share tonight, different from what we've been sharing on Wednesday nights.
We're going to do, this is going to be new to some of you. I believe you've all heard it. You just haven't sung it. And you heard Lily do it and Charisse a couple of weeks ago in the evening service. And I believe Shiloh and her posse has done it. It's Here I Am to Worship. And so we're going to do that. And this is kind of a training session tonight. I mean, we're going to just sing. I'm not going to stop and make comments, but we're just going to sing through it and let you get used to it. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up this time on this. Light of the world, you stepped into darkness, open my eyes to see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to
tonight to worship the Lord. Good job, good job. All right. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Matthew 5, if you would, for a few moments. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to look at one verse in just a moment. That is verse number 41. Hope all the fathers had a good Father's Day on Sunday. And I enjoyed my pies. And I ate mine and Christy's too. She got a couple of them, and I just didn't care for the afternoon. So I had myself a time with the pies. So appreciate Brother Allen and Terry making those pies. Men, did you enjoy your pies, those that ate them? Good, good. And women too, women too. We had plenty of pies. Mm, there you go. Well, we better stop talking about pie and get into God's Word. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer. And then I kind of want to summarize what's going on in chapter number 5. And then we will bring the topic to you. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for all things. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments, you would just get me out of the way. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Lord, there's something you want to say tonight. I pray that it would be said the way you want it to be said. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray they'll get saved. If there's someone here that's following you, Lord, from a distance, I pray they would come back to the cross. And I pray that all of us would be challenged tonight concerning the message. Bless those that are watching on Facebook, those that are listening on our webpage, and those that are here. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Matthew 5:41, in just a moment, I do want to say this. Jesus in this chapter is giving his Sermon on the Mount. He is actually on a mountain preaching and teaching the gospel. He starts in chapter number 5, verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And he mentioned several things. Verse number 3 through 11, he speaks of what we call, or some have called, the Beatitudes. If you notice in verse number 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he goes down verse 4, blessed. Verse 5, blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. These are known as the Beatitudes. They're known as the Beatitudes because it's a certain attitude to possess as a believer. And I believe these are attitudes the Christians should have and live out in their lives. These are attitudes the Lord exhibited Himself. Verse 3 mentions being poor in spirit. Verse 4 mentions mourning. Verse 5 mentions meekness. Verse 6 mentions hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Verse 7, merciful. Verse 8, pure in heart. Verse 9, peacemakers, and so forth and so on. These are actually characteristics or an attitude that the Lord possessed. And so it just makes sense that we ought to strive to possess the same kind of characteristics and attitudes. We ought to be that way. And so we are to endeavor to maintain these attitudes as our approach to dealing with man. Because the whole point in this Christian journey is for others to see Jesus in us. So we ought to consider how our attitude is each and every day. This is also to keep us grounded and settled as we live our lives. So let us be these certain things. Let us be meek. Let us hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let us be merciful. Let us be peaceful. So let us be these things. These are known as the Beatitudes. Tonight I want to call your attention, as I said a moment ago, to our text verse, verse number 41. And something's mentioned here to me that's kind of unusual if you look at it on surface level. He says in Matthew 5, verse number 41, while he is giving this Sermon on the Mount, verse 41, he says, "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, Go with him twain. I want to take that verse tonight, and I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject, going the extra mile, or going the second mile. What is he talking about? And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Two things in this introduction I want to give you to consider as to why Jesus said this. Number one, notice the word compel here. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile. That word compel means to force or press someone into public service. It means to be a courier. In our days, the mailman, Amazon, UPS, to be a courier. And again, it also means to force or to force a person into public service. So he says, and whosoever shall force you to go a mile, go with him twain, or 2 miles. We have to understand when Jesus is writing this, he is reflecting upon the Roman rule or the government of that day, and even before his day. It has been said that a Roman soldier would lay a burden upon a nearby Jew to carry out a certain distance to get it transported. It may have been a message to give to someone, or it may have been an object. But at any rate, it was some kind of burden that would be pressed upon, laid upon a certain Jew. To transport it, to be a courier. And they would be taken by force to do so. Many Jews would refuse to carry this burden or message. They would complain about it. They would, again, refuse to carry it or transport it. In return, they would suffer punishment. And so many Jews would reluctantly accept the burden, accept the message, accept the object and be a courier and to deliver it reluctantly. So Jesus says here, for the cause of Christ, take that burden that is forced upon you and not only do the expected mile, but do the unexpected mile, the extra mile. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So Jesus says, don't just do the expected, but do the extra. And so he says, not only do it, but go above and beyond what is asked or required. In doing so, this would bring honor and glory to God, or to the God of the Jews, and potentially open a door for that Roman soldier to put his faith and trust in the God of Israel. And so we're beginning to understand what this is about. And whosoever shall compel thee or make thee go a mile, go with him twain. And so we're already beginning to see that going the extra mile has to do with persuasion. Going that asked mile is expected, but going that second mile is impressive. It would make an impression upon the one demanding it. Someone says, do this for me. Take care of this. You just must do it, and you do it. Okay? But if you not only do it, but do extra, it would put a great impression of the Lord upon them because you're doing it in that kind of spirit, the spirit of meekness. You're considering Christ. It will leave an impression. It will make an impression upon the one demanding it about God. And that person would think, in retrospect, there was something different about that person. Not only did they do it, but they went above and beyond in doing it. And so one thing to consider about this verse is that word compel. Again, the word compelled there, it means to force. It means to force into public action. It means to be a courier. Another thing to consider about that verse, going the extra mile or go with him twain, has to do with the surrounding verses. Look at verse number 38. He says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." So verse 38 says, an eye for an eye is expected. We're living in the world. We're living in a world this morning where you do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. You knock my tooth out, I'm going to knock your tooth out. People expect that. You do me wrong, I do you wrong. Verse number 39, being smitten on the cheek is expected. You smite me, I'm going to smite you back. Look at verse number 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Someone that would borrow, getting it back would be expected. I'll let you borrow something, you give it back, I would be expecting you to give it back. Verse number 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 42, loving your neighbor is expected, and hating your enemy is expected. So all of these things are, in essence, going the mile. Those things are expected. You smite me, I'll smite you. You love me, I'll love you. You hate me, I hate you. But not giving an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth is going the extra mile. Not turning your cheek is going the extra mile. Giving your coat, keeping what's borrowed, loving your enemies is going the extra mile. This would bring honor and glory to God and potentially win someone to Jesus. So that's at least two things we see in this verse is the word compel, which means to take force, to move into action, to be a courier. And then all the surrounding verses we also reflected on. And so tonight, it doesn't stop there with what we mentioned, the eye for an eye, the tooth for a tooth, those things. But the second mile principle can be applied to many things in life. It can be applied to relationships. Not just doing the expected in our relationships, but doing more than expected. But not only in relationships, but this second mile principle can be involved in our health as well, mentally, physically, emotionally. The first mile or attempt at something is expected. You want to get better mentally, you take those first steps. You want to get better physically, you take those first steps. Emotionally, you take those first steps. But it's the second mile is what makes the difference. The first mile or attempt at something is expected or required. But listen tonight, real change and development comes with the second mile. Last night we had a family walk around our circle. It's exactly 1 mile. You've heard me say that before. And so Christy is past couple nights we've been walking, past couple weeks we've been walking, she's been walking with me, and past couple nights she's, Justin, let's do 2 miles. I said, are you sure about that? Oh yeah, let's go, I'm ready. And she's walking, you know. I said, I just want to tell you, the first mile's easy, but it's about halfway around that second mile, you may change your mind. And by that time, we're halfway around the circle, so we might as well just tough it out. And so it's Miss Me, it's Christy, it's Lily, it's Kristen. She spent the night with us a couple nights. So we're all walking, and we get halfway around that second mile, and Christy's like, Justin. I said, what? She said, encourage me. She says, I feel it in my legs. I feel it in my arms. I need to be motivated. And you know, the verse that came to my mind was this verse. I said, well, honey, the Bible says go the second mile. The first mile's expected. I said, yeah, we're going to feel something on that second mile. And I kind of got silly. I got down, my ear was walking. I said, keep going. One more mile. We got it. Real development comes on that second mile. The Bible says, let's go 2 miles. Let's do it. The first mile is expected. The second mile. I was kind of getting preachy toward her. And before you know it, we finished our mile. But we got in the house. And, of course, we ordered pizza. After work. After working out, we ordered pizza. And Kristen was sitting there. And she says, Justin, my legs are hurting. I said, your legs are hurting? I said, my legs are hurting, too. Christy's like, yeah, my legs are hurting. It's something. The first mile is easy. It's that second mile. It really gets you thinking about your motives, why you're doing what you're doing. It's very challenging on that second mile. I'll say this, that we broke through some emotional walls on that second mile. We dealt with some things. We pushed our limits on that second mile. Physically, we were all sore, but in return, we're going to be stronger. So tonight, it's something about the second mile that brings us face to face with our motives. It's something about that second mile, whether it's relationships or our health or our Christian walk. It's something about that second mile that causes us to search our hearts and grow. Tonight, if we are going to go beyond the status quo as believers, if we are going to go beyond the status quo in our relationships, we are going to have to go that second mile. And many times it's painful. Many times we question ourselves, did I really want to do this? Well, those things will come in your mind. It is a time of heart examination. And so go the second mile. I want to go the second mile. You go the second mile. Let's deal with our problems. Let's deal with our issues. Let's find our core. Let's find our motives and deal with it and push through. And I told Christy after we got home and ate our pizza and, you know, was proud of ourselves for walking, I said, you know, there's going to be a level of confidence you're going to have now. Because you went that second mile. I said, and what you do is you build on that. And so certainly going beyond yourself will help build your confidence. Take little steps in your Christian walk. Remember what I said Sunday? I actually posted on Facebook the other day. Celebrate first downs. These are life's little victories that lead you to the end zone. Build confidence upon confidence. Experience upon experience. You'll grow stronger. And so let's take little steps in our relationships, in our marriages. Let's take little steps in our Christian journey. And whenever we succeed at those little steps, let's celebrate it. Celebrate it and build on top of it. And so Jesus says here on the Sermon on the Mount, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. This is a second mile principle. And so tonight, I just want to give you, and I'm ahead of myself, but I want to give you 3 short points when it comes to going the extra mile. Number 1, Christianity calls for the extra mile. We as believers are called to live in the second mile. Anybody can do the first mile, but it's positioning yourself in the second mile. It's not just doing what's expected, but going above and beyond so we can see those results. I believe Calvary Baptist Church has been living in the second mile for the past year. And I say that because look at the improvements we have around here. I mean, anybody could go to church and come home and, you know, and hope and pray for things to change at Calvary, to modernize some things, to outreach to the community. Anybody can go to church and hope and pray. But it takes a second mile Christian to get things accomplished. And I just want to say thank you, Calvary, for being a second mile Christian. This church is changing cosmetically. This church is changing spiritually. We are reaching out to the community. We haven't, I don't think, have missed a month since January in our outreach. And if we have, we've doubled up the following month. We want to be a second mile church. And listen, some have said, nobody here, but discussing outreach programs, some friends of mine, well, have you had anybody come, you know, to church that you've knocked on the doors? I said, well, here and there. I said, but God has blessed us with two that have joined the church. Frank, Vicky. And you see, we didn't knock on y'all's doors, did we? But God saw the effort. And see, that's the whole thing about being a second-mile Christian is that, you know, we want to see immediate results and we want to see things happen. Well, all of that is up to God. He just wants us to go the second mile. And because we've been going the second mile, things have been getting done. People have been coming. I mean, Cassie's brother, his fiance, my goodness, we had some other visitors on Sunday. I don't think there were anybody we knocked on their door, but God saw the effort, and He has been allowing people to come, and that's all He wants to see is the effort. Being a second mile Christian. Christianity calls for the extra mile. Are you going the extra mile in your life? It's so easy to accept things for the way they are, whether it's a relationship, a church, you know, one of your responsibilities, especially with a diet and going on a health kick, man, it is hard to get started because you're like, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. But you'll be surprised how fast the wheels start turning once you start, whether it's a health kick or a relationship or a church, actually just get in there and start doing something, you'll be surprised how fast the wheels will start turning. It's something about going the extra mile. And so Christianity calls for the extra mile. Everyone else is living in the first mile or less in most churches. Everyone is living in the first mile or less in their marriages. Go to work, come home, good night, see you tomorrow, day after day after day, year after year after year, and you wonder why you don't feel that close together. It's because you're living in the second mile of the first mile. It's because at times I live in the first mile in some areas. And so maybe God is calling some tonight to take another lap. You say, Brother Justin, I've tried before. I've tried going that second mile and nothing happened. Well, go a third mile. Go a fourth mile. Because God sees the effort. And He tells us, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. It's something about that second mile. Try it again. I love referring back to the Old Testament, Naaman the leper, and he had leprosy, and Elisha came along, and actually word was sent back to Elisha, and Elisha, you know, basically said, just don't bother me, go dip in Jordan. You know? That's my words. The Bible don't say that. And he dipped. He said, go dip seven times. And he dipped, and he dipped, and he dipped, and he dipped, and nothing until that last dip. And on that seventh time, he was healed from his leprosy. It's something about repetition. It's something about embracing faith. It's something about hope. It's something about not giving up. It's something about when everything on the inside says quit and stop and throw in the towel, and you say, no, I'm going to believe it for one more mile, and you go one more mile. The change you're wanting in your life is around the corner. You may get tired. You may get weary. You may have to ask for support and help like Christy did me. But by the end of that second mile, she had the satisfaction that she went 2 miles. And now when she goes back to walk, she knows she can do at least 2 miles. And so it's confidence on top of confidence. It's experience on top of experience. It's pushing the boundaries. It's pushing the limits. It's going all in. A lot of Christians and families are living in the first mile. Loving your neighbor is the first mile. Loving your enemy is the second mile. Blessing them that bless you is the first mile. Blessing them that curse you is the second mile. Doing good to those that do good to you is the first mile. Doing good to those that hate you is the second mile. Praying for those who pray for you is the first mile. Praying for those who despitefully use you is going the second mile. The Pharisees lived in the first mile. Christians lived in the second mile. Going to the doctor is the first mile. Doing what the doctor says is going the second mile. Going the second mile changes things and changes us. Tonight, it's all about going that second mile. It's all about going when you want to quit. And so, the first thing, Christianity calls for the extra mile. Number two, Christ lived in the second mile. He fellowshipped with the lost and the sinners. Society and the Pharisees would not fellowship with the lost, would not fellowship with the sinners, but Christ did. And so Christ did what the Pharisees wouldn't do, because the Pharisees lived in the first mile and Christ lived in the second mile. Many wouldn't talk to the harsh and the homeless, but Jesus did. Don't turn there, but in Luke 10, verse 25 through 37, there was a traveler that was traveling and he was robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road for dead. Many a passerby let him there die, let him just stay there dying. The priest passed by and let him stay there dying. The Levite passed by and let him stay there dying. But there was a man who passed by, a Samaritan, and he stopped to help him. And he's called the Good Samaritan, and he was labeled that because he went the second mile. Anybody can go the first mile, but it's going the second mile. It's inconveniencing yourself for someone else. It's putting yourself on the back burner for someone else. You know, the very definition of the word joy is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. It's going the extra mile. If you want real joy, you've got to go the extra mile. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. Listen, in spite of him being a tax collector. Tax collectors in those days were pretty much known as thieves and looked down upon. But in return, Zacchaeus came to faith in Christ because he went the second mile. And so it's easy to love the unlovable, but not so easy to love. It's easy to love the lovable, but not so easy to love the unlovable. But by going the extra mile and loving the unlovable may end up loving themselves. Thank God tonight Jesus went the extra mile. He went to Calvary for us. And then he went another mile when he rose from the dead. And then one day he's coming back another mile, or going another mile when he comes back for us. We have Jesus, the traveler, going the extra mile time and time and time and time again. So thank God that he went the extra mile. And so tonight we see that Christ lived in the extra mile. Do we live in the extra mile? Is that how we're living our lives? Are we living our lives in the first mile, or are we living our lives in the second mile? Christianity calls for the extra mile. Christ lived in the second in the extra mile. But then lastly, done a few minutes early, and that is this: committing to the extra mile. Committing. Will you be an extra mile Christian? Or will you only do what's expected? I read my Bible and pray and go to church and I give. That's the expected. But what about going the extra mile? What about soul winning? What about handing out a gospel tract? What about investing more time in the church? What about giving an eye of examination to your marriages? What about being a better mom or better dad? What about doing all these other responsibilities? What about going the extra mile? Last question is, are we okay with being status quo? Just another Christian that comes and goes to church? Or does it bother us because we only do the expected? And so tonight, committing to the extra mile. Are you willing to commit to the extra mile? Again, he says right here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, smiting and turning the cheek and being taken to the law for your coat and all these things. And then right in the middle he says, and whosoever shall compel thee or force you to go a mile, go with him twain. Go with him too. Why is that? Because there is a 2-mile difference that it makes. There's the principle of going the extra mile. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Just a short message, a short lesson. But I feel like that's what needed to be said tonight. God, you've challenged my heart with going the extra mile. Lord, I want to continue to go the extra mile. I know Calvary does. I know these that are here want to go the extra mile, and I'm sure they have been. Maybe there's someone who hasn't been. Maybe there's someone who hasn't been that's watching on Facebook or listening on the internet. Help us, Lord, understand that there is a principle here that when we go when we don't want to go and we engage when we don't want to engage, something happens on the inside of us. Real change begins to occur as long as we're willing to change. And so, Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for who you are and for what you do. I pray that you'll just keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning, Lord, to worship you once again. And Lord, we pray for souls to be saved, lives to be changed. And God, we do pray for our gospel singing on Saturday, God, that you'd fill your house, that you would touch lives and encourage the saints. And Lord, help us get churchgoers and potentially church members as a result of this gospel singing. We love you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we close? Before we dismiss and leave? Absolutely. Absolutely. They coming back Sunday? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.